There's our morning, our bird. Yeah, I saw my first robin the other day in South Dakota. That's the sign of spring. Don't know about the rest of you guys, but I think that he came a little early because I think he died the last couple of days, but pretty cold out there. Here we are. series time again. I don't think anything will be new in here, and it looks like I'm going over the same old stuff again. I'm not going to dig up any sermons on what's going on in Japan and America and the conspiracies here and there and all that stuff, so whatever, you know, the radiation. I'll let the Christian media play with that stuff, make money off it. We're going to look at something that we probably already know. We just haven't seen it in this, hopefully, organized fashion here. Look at Colossians chapter 4. The other day I was on that Spaceless book, and somebody had written down there about it, which comes into my email. And they had supported the movie Fire something, Firehouse or Fireman or Fireman something, Firehouse. It's a Christian movie, as they call it, new in the last couple of years. And everybody likes it because it's supposed to be a marriage saver type of a thing. I wrote a comment about it. It was modern gospel. It was not something to support. And it isn't. It's just terrible music and the... Well, this guy who... Fireproofy, I guess that's what it was called. And he wrote back and said, you know, nothing pleases me. Nothing's perfect enough for me as a person. So that's why I preach the way I do on this stuff. And he says, and I don't even know what the modern gospel is according to you. Well, you know, it doesn't matter what it is according to me. It doesn't matter what is it according to the book and kind of a thing. But the last couple of days I've been thinking, you know, there are some people out there that they're nice people. I mean, some of them are our family. They're not gainsayers. They're not rebel rousers. They're not the kind that are trying to corrupt everybody and destroy. They just don't get what's going on here. And they're not capable of letting go this folly Baptistic religion that they were given by us men. And people are still trying to cling to this modern gospel, as we call it, I guess. And so, what is the modern gospel? What are some of the things that explain this modern gospel? I thought, you know what? Let's go through that thing. So I just grabbed a piece of paper, laid back, and just wrote down some subjects that would be considered important. And, I mean, I just kept coming up with things. And, you know, just almost everything I came up with, what Paul teaches about it is different. A more excellent way. A more perfect way. More perfect... I don't know. Now I forgot what they are. And just about every one of them, Paul's got more to it. Well, sure. It's the way of God more perfectly. So the question comes up then, why can't we do both? With some intelligent discretion, of course, as they would say. So we're going to look at this modern gospel, not based on the Charismatics or the Pentecostals or the Lutherans or the Methodists or, you know, the modern Christian as such, because that's Acts chapter 2, da-da-da-da. But we're going to look at this, and I'm going to be speaking this, directing this towards the King James guys. Even the King James only, almost only guys. The rightly dividing bunch who rightly divide by verse, not by Paul's books. And then to those that are not willing to do the Paul thing, but they still accept Paul as who he is, and they use some of his stuff when it fits to their convenience. So we're basically going to be looking at Paul's gospel versus the modern King James guys, who have changed quite a bit since they first got involved with them many years ago. And so look at Colossians chapter 4. We got some things to consider tonight before we really jump into it. And Colossians chapter 4, verse 3, he says, with all praying also for us. So Paul, you know, we're supposed to pray. And there's the people that don't get the Paul thing because they think that now that their prayer life is all confused. They don't know what to pray for. They don't know, should they pray? The Holy Spirit prays for us. Why should we pray? Well, it says right here, to continue in prayer. So, yeah, we're still supposed to pray. withal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. You know, the very reason that many of us have lost family members or whatever, or friends or neighbors or workers or some cases a job or whatever, it's because you were looking for a door of utterance. You tried to speak the mystery of Christ, which we know is Paul's teachings. And as a result, he says, for which I am also in bonds, so are we in some respect. He says, that I may make it manifest. What's it? Mystery of Christ. As I ought to speak, because that's what we ought to do. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. So, you know, redeeming the time, just think about, okay, let's just talk the Japan thing just a little bit. That really is a pretty big deal. They're talking 25,000. They're probably just making the numbers big to scare people and get the nuclear thing all fired up. But, you know, it's still, if it's true what's going on, half at all, that's quite a big blow to this world as such. I mean, the axis of the world changed. The Japan moved 8 feet or something. I don't know. That's a pretty big event. Then they got volcanoes going, the radiation thing going. The next earthquake to come, so according to the pattern that's been established, would be California. So, redeeming the time. Now, I'm not looking for the Lord. I'm not looking forward to the Lord coming back, according to Matthew, because that's the second coming. I'm not worried about that. As it says in Jude and 1 John, you know, you'll be ashamed if he comes back and sees you doing whatever it is you're doing. Well, we know what he's taught us, that we won't be shamed when he comes to get us for the rapture, because there's no law. I mean, there goes that whole list. So we will look to ourselves and say, I'm going to lose everything I thought I had, and it's embarrassing, and da-da-da-da. But I really believe the Lord just going to say, I took care of the shame, let's go forward here. He's just going to clean out the works and leave us with what we have left, if anything. Will you be a dimmed Christian, or you know the whole story there. So, we need to walk in wisdom over this modern gospel crowd here, whether they be the antagonistic about it, or they're rude about it, or they're smart aleck about it, or they're not approachable, or they're nice people and they're not getting it, and they're making some decisions on their own, they just can't let it go, or maybe they just still don't just understand it. So here's going to be a series. Who knows how long? Maybe short. Maybe long. Off and on. Who knows? Whatever. I even got some words on the other one yet. Let's compare this modern King James guy's gospel, Baptist, you want to say it, Baptist, Bible-believing, King James only, Paul aware of, but don't follow only, but we use him when convenient, type of a Bible believer. So let's go through this. Let's go through some of these things. And to do that, let's consider what we're up against tonight. I mean, we want to, like I said, it's not the Lutherans, it's not the conservative people in town I'm talking about. It's not these people out there with their little, whatever religion they belong to, denomination. I'm talking about our guys that really get tweaked when we start talking about it. Like this guy said, I don't even know what you think the modern gospel is. And this guy's parents were Paul-following people. So, let's look at this thing here. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. We got to go to Galatians chapter 1. Got to go to Galatians 1. Now, Galatians 1, like I say, nothing new here. I haven't found any verses you haven't already read. That's good. He says in verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ, again, unto another gospel. See, somebody asked me when I got saved, or they knew I got saved back in such and such, 78. And I tell people now, you know, I got born into religion. I don't believe I was saved at that time. I think I was born into religion. Then I finally got born into the Baptist religion. They seemed to be the ones. I was following a religion still, the folly of a religion. Now, here's a bunny trail thought, being born again. I know they'll do this for garlics down there in the Philippines. You know, born again, you can be born again, and you'll still be the same old piece of trash you were born the first time with. There's no promise of any change there at all. But when you look at what Paul says, Paul goes the more excellent way, the more perfect way, is made alive. Ah, there's a difference. Now you're made alive. Now you were quickened. there was a change. Born again, using the phrase born again, doesn't assure any kind of a change whatsoever. They imply there's one. Well, see, you get, become born again, and then you go to heaven when you die. Oh, that's it? Do you know anything else about that? No, I don't really. But I want to stop sinning now because I'm born again. No, Paul redoes everything. So we'll probably mention that thing in here too as well. But verse 7. So this gospel now that people are following, this Baptistic gospel here, which is, it says here, into the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another. Now, what does that mean? Well, called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not... I mean, he just said, listen, what you got isn't the gospel. It's called the gospel. People think it's the gospel. You talk about it all the time, but it's not another gospel. There's only one gospel, and that's Paul's. Now, there was one gospel during Jesus' time on this earth. There's one, you know, that whole thing. But there would be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Well, yeah. They trouble us. They truly, honestly trouble us. They get upset. They get so angry at this stuff. Listen, if you don't want to believe this, then fine. You don't get upset at the Hindus, do you? And the Catholic, I mean, you think you do. You want to be that great preacher thing. But nobody tweaks you like a Paul guy, it seems like, to these guys here. Which is not another. But let there be some that, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Christ, risen Savior. And they pervert that gospel. Is going back to Jesus' teaching, some of them, as you rightly divide them per educational choice, and following Peter and John and James, and, well, we know we don't follow James, don't we, Baptist guys, because we, that's pretty obvious, 12 tribes of Israel. And we really shouldn't be following Hebrews either, because it's written to the Hebrews. And you're still fighting over whether Paul wrote that thing or not, instead of looking at it and putting it in its proper place. So they pervert the gospel of Christ. I believe they do. I believe the Baptistic King James 1611 preachers actually pervert the gospel of Christ. They'll speak some of the things Paul says. 1 Corinthians 15. Is it 1 or 2 Corinthians? It's 1 Corinthians 15. That he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And they say that's Paul's gospel. He says in verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. And then he talks about that. And that's all they give Paul credit for. There's that one little blurb right in there. So then they take it all back to early Acts and the Gospels. And Peter was one of the apostles. So they go to the book of Peter and Jude. And they teach all this stuff. And I believe what they're doing is they're perverting the gospel of Christ. So, can we mix Paul and the Gospels? No, we can't. Do I say not to read the Gospels? No, I don't. Read the Gospels. Learn what Jesus did on this earth in order so he can say what he says to us. You know, how he fulfilled the law. Read the Old Testament to find out. The whole book is a Jewish book anyway. We're lucky to be in this thing at all. Then get into the tribulation. This is what's coming. And we see it already in setting in place today. So we can learn from all that stuff, no doubt. Verse 8, but though we, or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto that which ye have preached unto you, which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now, think of all your famous good buddies. Am I gonna be so bold and confident and arrogant to say that those guys are accursed? Well, you know, this is what the Scriptures say. See, either these guys aren't preaching a perverted gospel of Christ, or, how do I say that? Either these guys are preaching a perverted gospel of Christ, and they're accursed over it, or I'm nuts by trying to say that we should be Paul only. When Paul says, follow me, as I follow Christ, that's the risen Savior. And as it was, we'll find some more things here. When you look at these differences between the modern Bible-believing gospel guys and what Paul teaches, there's still a world of difference in there. It isn't that close. It isn't that knit. And when you go to a certain college, institute, or whatever, and that particular guru teaches you how to rightly divide based on all these verses, which goes where, and all this kind of stuff, then you're putting forth an education, a folly education. You have to go to your guy's school to know how to do this stuff. No, a King James Bible rightly divided can be rightly divided and read by anybody. And you would think that that's what people would accept. But we are so steeped in religion and so steeped in church, and we are so following the pastors and so gullible to the music and the flesh and the whole, which is what it all is anyway, and the social aspect of the church thing, we'll listen to them explain us the Bible. Well, that's what it says right there. Yeah, but it's in Mark. That's not what we're talking about here. Okay, so they're cursed. And think of who some of these biggies are. When one of them says to me, if you don't preach the Great Commission, I don't want your money. I haven't heard from them since. Well, so you think I'm preaching a false gospel? Okay. So if that was the case, I would be accursed. I would be accursed. Except what I'm preaching here is Paul's gospel. And you're preaching the gospel. We can't be both doing the same thing and trying to put Matthew on people, Mark and Luke and John on people, early part of Acts. You can't be going down to Acts 2:49 and telling people how we need to get in tune to the community and be around with everybody. It's exactly what's going on. So I guess in this, what I'm sitting here saying, I guess what I'm saying here is these guys are cursed. They're preaching a perverted gospel of Christ. So I imagine this won't get any further if they're going to even try to listen to this in the first place. So and in their perverted gospel of Christ, they've got a lot of good things. These guys are good at their preaching. They've been doing the same 10, 15, 20 sermons, missionary sermons for years. You're bound to get good on a sermon by then. The music that people are doing is great. They're having a great time in the churches. These people can bring crowds to your church. The crowds leave when the preacher guy leaves, the missionary leaves, the evangelist leaves. But they were there for a couple days anyway, pulled in some money and gave him some of it. No, let's look at verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you that ye have, other than that, than ye have, that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ, risen Savior there. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, what Paul's going to teach to us is different than what these Baptistic guys are teaching. And we're going to go through a lot of things here. They'll never listen to it. We pray for the door, as it says there in Colossians, we pray for that door of utterance. It'd be nice if somebody would read this stuff and go, boy, I never looked at it that way, and they would open their eyes to what Paul has to say. That would be nice. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Now, if anybody lasted this long out there in the web world, and or somebody's asked you to listen to this, even if you're a pastor or whatever, I'm telling you, it's not going to be my opinion at all. This is going to be straight from Paul's mouth, straight from the mouth of God, Holy Spirit, to Paul, to a King James Bible, telling us how to rightly divide it to us. We're looking here at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Now it says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, which I'm not. And we all know, we've heard me say it a million times, the testimony of our Lord is not just in the Gospels. It's in the Old Testament, when he was shown to Moses. He was a fire in the cloud. When he was willing to come back in the early part of Acts. When he went to Paul, when he's coming back for the second coming, for the tribulation, and even eternity after that, and eternity beforehand, that's the testimony of our Lord. I'm not ashamed of any of that. I don't have a problem talking about Jesus' testimony, whatever part of the Bible it was in. But to take that stuff and to tell people this is to you as far as the directions and the application, that's the perverted aspect of this whole thing. Because it's not. Yes, Sam, it's just like you say, it's just a huge spider web, and people get caught in it. No matter what part of that web they touch, they bump into it, they're stuck. And For me to say this, I got enough people out there think I'm nutty in a fruitcake anyway. Especially with my music being so hard on the music thing and whatever. But now here they can get a hold of this thing and they can say, look at this stuff. And I can't help it but say, listen, we're going to look at this in the Bible. And you're going to see the differences between Paul's teachings and what Jesus taught and what's in the Peter and all that stuff, what these guys said. There's a difference. If you think you can merge them in there, then that's why you've got a religion. That's why you're caught in your spider web. That's very good. That's why you're still Baruch. Still all those good things to say here. Okay. So I know that on my website out there, we got a long list of names on the website, but I know some of those guys are King James Baptist people through and through. I'm not sure they even listen to this stuff anymore, but they tried it at one time. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but I know there's some King James Bible-believing Baptistic Baptists that at least are signed up for this. Maybe this will be the stuff that will go, well, either dump him or get with him. But it also says, nor of me, his prisoner. That's Paul. I'm not ashamed of Paul's stuff either. But then he also throws in, but be ye partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God. So we know that this is going to come with some, what are your afflictions? Your families are gone. Your grandkids are gone. Your neighbors won't talk to you. Not that you're being a jerk about it. You weren't being, you know, critical as such. You try to do the Paul way, which you've learned as you go. Yet all of us know that we burnt some bridges in our past. We said some things hard in a manner we shouldn't have because some guy told us that was cool. So we tried to be like him. And we know today that people can't take anything, whether it be religious, musical, spiritual, education. They can't take anything hard. You just can't do it. They can't handle it. So I'm not ashamed of Paul either. Now, let's go here to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's get going here. We got plenty of time, but 2 Timothy chapter 4. Who are these people? What are we dealing with when we try to tell somebody something? Are they all bad people? Not necessarily. But here's what we run across, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. This is at Alexander the coppersmith. And Paul says, did him much evil. And we've had people that have done us evil, done me evil, done you evil. Now again, whether it be an evil person, or if it's just somebody who means well, but just really tries to shut you down, or whatever. And he says in verse 15, for he hath greatly withstood our words. You talk to people and they will greatly withstand what you have to say about Paul's stuff. They'll stand against our words. Greatly. And unfortunately, 16, in my first answer, no man stood with me. There he is by himself again. Like, we just have to get used to being alone, I guess. Never was good at that. And yet, Paul, look what Paul says. I don't say this. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. I've said things like, go get them, Lord. How can they do this? Well, maybe they'll get it maybe next year, maybe 5 years. I'm not sure we have 5 years, but whatever. So these are people that they've withstood what we have to say greatly. They don't care what you have to say. They don't care that you put the word, this is what the scriptures say. This is my King James Bible says. The only Bible in all the Bibles that says this. They don't care. They'll withstand against that stuff. Okay, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. These people are deceiving, and they're also being deceived. I feel the tickle coming out a little bit here. It says they're evil men and seducers. Now, I'm not saying everybody out there that doesn't get the Paul thing are evil men and seducers. But they're deceived and being deceived. And they're deceiving. There we go. They're deceiving. And there's a bunch out there that are evil men and seducers. They're out to get this thing. They'll get on the website. They'll try to find your email address. They'll pop onto this thing and they'll say something something stupid because they haven't got the guts to talk about it later, whatever, you know. They think God has called them to go out there and tell people what's wrong with Paul, what's wrong with the King James Bible. Yeah, that's right. That's really what God wants you to do, is show everybody God's mistakes. I just can't get over that kind of mentality, but whatever. So these are people that will withstand what we have to say. They're deceived and deceiving. Some of them are evil men and seducers, and they're going to get worse. We look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 2, verse 23. There are some people here that Paul tells us not to hang around. And this is where some of our frustration lies. This is where some of my frustration lies. This is where some of the frustration I receive from emails from you folks out there that you try to tell somebody. And they don't get it. They don't want to get it. They get angry at you for it. Like he says, they withstand what you have to say. They're deceived. They're being deceived. And they will deceive others. And in this case, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23, they're going to be saying stupid things. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Paul knew how to handle these guys. His pride wasn't going to get him into a fight. Only by pride cometh contention. And so Paul just walks away from it. It's really hard for us to have somebody, really, they come to your door and they walk into your house is what they do with email. Because you open up email and you read it. You just invited them and you just let them into your house. You listen to everything they had to say. Now they're in your house and you don't know what to tell them because they're not going to listen to you. And then what do you got? It says right there, it genders strife. So the best thing to do when somebody sends you something like that, delete it. Don't even let it bother you. Now, when I first got into this stuff, I talked to people, any people I could on the internet. It was good practice. That part of it was fine. And I really don't remember how y'all came about the website, but I still get letters from people. They find this website. I don't understand it. I'm amazed by it. I haven't changed any pictures on it recently, and it's nothing spectacular. It's on an old-fashioned Netscape 4.7, whatever they call that thing, and just nothing. And they still find these things, and they still get excited. There's some I'm behind an email again. So these people that were going to try to show this stuff, they're caught up in their Baptistic King James 1611 Bible-believing stands, and they're good people and blah. It's just hard to let those people go. Well, it won't be after you're done with this whole series. You're going to find out that they are accursed. That's what I see that tonight. We're going to find out that some of them are evil men. Some of them are seducers. They won't be honest with you. And if you get into it with them, you're going to engender strife. Now, that doesn't bother us. The strife part doesn't bother us. Well, but it does after a while. It just gets us mixed up, doesn't it? It's hard on us. But yet we want a door of utterance. Is it a door of utterance to talk to these people about this stuff? Or are we shutting it down? Well, let's go on here. We'll see here. Look at verse 24. The servant of the Lord must not strive to be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that they oppose themselves. They're not opposing us. They're opposing themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of it. See, we all know this. They've got to get out of this mess themselves. All we can do is show them some things. But I keep getting emails, and you're frustrated with these people. They don't get it. I understand. I talk to people all the time. They just get up. They're just, why can't you see this? What are you so blind about? Anyway, even the gracer guys, they're so caught up in their grace living that they have no standards and they have no way of pleasing God. They just, anyway. So, let's look here at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. Now, here he talks about Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. So do these. Who are these? That's the modern Christian up there, chapters 3, 1 through 6. We've been over this, verse 7. These people, they resist the truth. You talk to people that you want to show them this Paul stuff, they resist it. They don't want to hear it. Well, these people have a corrupt mind. They're reprobate concerning the faith. If we could just remember, yeah, you're being very judgmental. Yeah, we are. We just have to understand, when we talk to these King James 1611 Bible preaching kind of guys, they're a mess. Nice people, and they do well. They go on visitation. They do all this good stuff, you know. They probably got a good grip on their music, maybe, or whatever. that they're teaching a perverted gospel of Christ. Let's look here to 2 Timothy 3. Okay, it says here, these are men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. That's a serious statement. That is a serious description there. Talks about the folly. Let's go to Titus chapter 3, verse 9, over a page or whatever. Titus chapter 3, verse 9. Here it is again. Avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law. Are we the one making the fuss about the law? No, not at all. Are we the one that makes the big fussing about words? We're the ones that say King James Bible is the only Bible, perfect words. Well, but the King James Bible was here a long time before your little modern version came up. So you're the one making the issue about words, not me. I mean, we're living in times now where people don't even know there was only one Bible. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies, thank you, Mormons, and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. How much time have we wasted on these discussions and these arguments and these things, emailing back and forth, and you hit the enter key really hard, boom, he'll get that one. Doesn't get it, you know. Then he says in verse 10, that a man that is a heretic after the first and second admission reject. Now here we go. Knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. This guy is just not going to get right. He's not going to go for it. So he tells us to avoid him. Paul kept his composure, I think, because he knew who to avoid. The guys weren't interested, he'd walk on to the next cow path there, or whatever, llama path, or donkey path, or whatever. Look at Titus chapter 3. Go back to Titus chapter 3, verse 10. Titus, I guess we're already there, close. Titus chapter 3, verse 10. I'm sorry, so I already did that one. Wasn't even thinking. Let's go to Titus chapter 1. These are who we're dealing with. Walk away. Delete them. Try, but you're not going to get anywhere. They're preaching a perverted gospel. Okay, Titus chapter 1, verse 10. There are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped. Well, how do you stop a guy's mouth? By walking away. Have you stopped his mouth by yakking with him for hours and hours and hours, not getting anywhere? Teaching things which they ought not. Yeah, they are. They're teaching things which they ought not. They subvert, they'll destroy your whole household. Teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always evil liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, there it is, that they may be sound in the faith. Not giving heed to Jewish fables. I think that's the Great Commission, but whatever. And commandments of men that turn from the truth. They have to turn from the truth. These arguments are with people trying to turn people from the truth. And we know that 2 Timothy 2:15 says to study, to show thyself approved. How many will study, will read, will skim, but to study it. Like we're going to study these subjects, and we're going to compare them to the modern King James Bible-believing crowd to a Paul gospel teaching. Okay, so that's who we're... There's probably more stuff. That's kind of who we're messing with here, who we're dealing with. And 2 Timothy... Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I know people are saying, well, if we stay away from everybody who Paul says we should, we won't have anybody. Well, how many of us have come to realize that? Are you ashamed of Paul? Well, no. Well, then you can't stop. You just know you're not going to win them over. But the few that do are because they've got questions of their own, and you can answer their questions. And they pick up on that. So we're looking at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I think we are anyway. Verse 14. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. How far do we go with that one? Well, if I get everything mentioned as far as introduction, we look at Galatians 1. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, get a good intro into this thing, and maybe we can spark an interest here for some people. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you know this verse here. These guys are preaching what was it called? It was a perverted gospel of Christ by preaching, bringing in the Jewish teachings and then the tribulation teachings into us today, totally ignoring the grace, the dispensation of grace on its own. And Paul truly can stand on his own. He's got the crucifixion, the resurrection. He's got all that stuff. He tells everybody about it. Okay, now we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, There's corruption coming out of these people. One of the things that's corrupted by them is the simplicity that is in Christ. Verse 3 there. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. These Baptist preacher guys will corrupt these people with the simplicity. Of the simplicity that's there. Have you noticed? It's not hard. It's not confusing. It's not difficult to get. What makes it difficult is we can't let go what we've been taught for so many years because they corrupted us away from the simplicity that is in Christ. Okay, now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Another way of looking at this evil communication, these guys are putting forth evil communications? How can that be? It's a perverted gospel. They're taking them away from the simplicity in Christ. And it's going to corrupt these people. We know that in 2 Timothy 2:15 and 16, that if you don't rightly divide, you're following profane and vain babblings, and it's going to increase in ungodliness. This is what's happening. Rightly dividing is going out the window. Paul's is not the apostle anymore to people, and America's falling apart. Everybody's going back to a perverted gospel of Christ. Then we got 2 Corinthians 2:17. 2 Corinthians 2:17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. This isn't what these guys are doing. If they're not preaching Paul only, I will stand and I will say that you're corrupting the Word of God. And you're a King James Bible-believing only kind of a guy. But you're not taking them to Paul where he's supposed to take them. Where's that verse that talks about... See if I can find it really quick. I never can remember where this thing is at here. So 1 Corinthians 4:17. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ. And these guys are not doing that. Which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere at every church. It isn't being done. Okay, so that's it for the introduction. I've got a long list of things, and you can do your own. I mean, don't need me to do this for you. You sit down and you think of some things that are going on in the churches and compare them to what Paul teaches, and you're going to see some differences. And I'll put these up. We'll get going into this thing. So we'll do this starting Sunday morning, probably, unless something else comes up, like it always seems to sometimes. But we're going to compare the modern Bible-believing guys with what Paul teaches. And listen, I've read the Baptist stuff. I've preached it for years, a number of years there, not a whole lot of years, but enough. And I've talked to all these guys, and they're wrong. Not because of me, but because of a King James Bible, what it has to say. Boy, I think one of the things that's hard for people is they can't get by the person who's talking about Paul. Well, get by it. Then you're not a Bible believer. Look at that book, and let me just show you what the book says, and you go from there. Like it says in Timothy, you got to get out of your own snare anyway. I can't help you out of it. I've tried to get so many people out of the snares they're in, it's virtually almost destroyed my mind and my encouragement and my joy and the whole thing, because I try to guide these people out of their messes, and when it comes right down to it, they sneak back and the trap comes down, they'll never get out again. I got too many people I can tell you about. So it's got to come from them. It's got to come from them. And we don't have enough patience. I know I don't. So that's just where we are, I guess. So that's it for tonight. Oh, yeah. Oh, just don't get me started on the Baptist pastor thing, you know, because that's really what I'm at. If you think about it, I guess I'm going after these guys that say that we're nuts. I'm going to say you're preaching a perverted gospel of Christ. That's just what you're doing. And this is probably going to blow up into something, or they're probably just who cares and poo-poo it away and, you know, whatever. Oh, Little House is on there. Well, you made it home. And people want the pastors to fix the flesh for everybody. They want the pastors to be the hero. And it's all Bible psychology. And, fix the old nature. Let's study the old nature. Are you sanguine? Are you choleric? Are you melancholy? And, no, let's just get rid of that junk and, you know, whatever. Okay, so there you go tonight, folks.